text for the sermon this evening is Psalm 103, verse 2. I'll read the first two verses of Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, our whole being is affected by the fall. Every part of our being is tainted by our sin. Our human nature is corrupt, and that includes how we think and what we remember. The fall and our sinfulness affect what we remember. We may have some sweet and happy memories, but one of the challenges that we face is that our memory often treasures worthless junk and neglects priceless treasure. Most of us have things in our minds we wish we could not remember. It may be that at times we say, "Why do I forget the important things? Why do some of the precious things and sweet things seem to recede from my memory, whereas some of the memories I want to forget seem to stick in my mind?" We can remember grievances, but we may be careless with regard to goodness. We may remember for years something that somebody said against us. We may remember for decades a bad thing someone did to us, but how often do we quickly and readily recall a particular kindness we have received or the good things given to us? We have to work hard for those, whereas the other things just seem to rest upon us. The Lord Jesus knows this is a challenge for us. Here in our text in Psalm 103, verse 2, the Lord Jesus teaches us to talk to ourselves. Here we have the soul of Jesus, the sinless soul of the sinless man, the sinless Savior, with all of his soul talking to his soul. Jesus directs his mind. He focuses his attention on certain things. In this way, he teaches us to direct our minds in certain paths, to focus our attention on certain things, to set our heart on certain realities. Here, our Savior teaches us to urge ourselves to this great activity. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Jesus says to Himself, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. This is who God is, and this is how God has dealt with you. Bless the Lord, O my soul, for His blessings toward you. Do not forget the benefits of God. First, why do we need to remember? Why does Jesus teach us to say to ourselves, do not forget all God's benefits? Jesus knows how prone we are to forget God's benefits. Nothing but the basest ingratitude could chill our hearts or shut our lips. We are too easily marked by the basest ingratitude. I need to remember because the way that I am and the place where I live and the circumstances that surround me push me not to remember God's favors, but to forget them. I need to remember, because by nature I have an unthankful heart. You and I are not naturally primed for gratitude. It is not instinctive in us. Rather, we tend to live with a sense of entitlement. There is even more of this sense in our affluent society today. We think we have less than we deserve. I need to remember, because I am marked by a complaining spirit. Do you not find that your complaints are much more creative than your thankfulness? So often we find miseries in our very mercies. For example, we read this evening from Numbers chapter 14. And there at the very beginning of Numbers chapter 14, we read, "So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night, and all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, 'If only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt?' So they said to one another, 'Let us select a leader and return to Egypt.'" The children of Israel are on the verge of entering into the land of promise, and they complain that God has brought them there. We might as well have died in Egypt. We might as well go back into slavery. You find this over and over again in the scriptures and in our own experience. "I do not like this food," says the child with the plate of nutritious food on the table right in front of them. How creative we are with our complaints. "I do not have a thing to wear," says the person who opens their wardrobe and does not like the choices that lie before them of a number of different garments. "I do not like this teacher," says someone who has the privilege of learning how to read or how to count. "I'm not happy in this family," says someone who often is in a situation that is so much better than others because they have people around them who love them and care for them. "I wish my life were not like this," says someone who is living and breathing. Do you not often find that you are complaining about your blessings? You have found a way to turn the good things that God has given you into a reason to resent how God is dealing with you. In fact, the word in our text translated "benefits" means the way God is dealing with us. "I had to pay so much for my car, which normally takes me wherever I need to go with no complaints. I need to remember because I have an unthankful heart. I need to remember because I have a complaining spirit. I need to remember because I have a troubled life." Often we are surrounded and can sometimes feel ourselves swamped with griefs and woes. And those tend to be the things that press in upon us, that invade our consciousness. They are the things that keep us awake at night. When was the last time you were kept awake at night by a blessing? When was the last time you could not shake off the pressing sense of a good gift, a good thing from God? It is our troubles that keep us from sleeping. It is our affliction that seems to trouble our path. We live in a distracting world. And that is why I need to remember. Because the world entices and seduces me. This world fills our time. This world captures our thoughts. Even if it is not taking away that deliberate remembering of what God has done, how distracting is it? People spend hours looking intently at screens with social media, messages, images, videos, games, or whatever it might be. Have you ever found yourself meditating for hours about how good and how kind God has been in dealing with you? Or do you normally fill your mind with silliness and nonsense, and you wake up and you say, "Whew, where did that hour just go?" Finally, we need to remember all God's benefits because we are prone to forget through the pride of our souls. For example, in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 11 through 17, the Lord shows us the forgetfulness that we have when things go well with us. Is that not a fearful thing? That at the very moment when you should be thanking God for His mercies is exactly the time when you might be most prone to forget the benefits and the blessings that the Lord God has showered upon you? Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 11. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments, His judgments, and His statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full, and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through that great and terrible wilderness in which were fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that He might humble you and that He might test you to do you good in the end. Then you say in your heart, "My power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth." Even in the list of blessings that Israel should not have forgotten are some of the very blessings that Israel complained about. Why do we have to eat this manna all the time? Why can God not give us some decent food? In 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 25, the Lord gives us the example of King Hezekiah, one of the good kings of Judah. We read in 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 25, "But Hezekiah did not repay according to the favor shown him, for his heart was lifted up. Therefore, wrath was looming over him and over Judah and Jerusalem." I am prone to forget because I have a prideful soul. Like Israel of old, like Hezekiah, the king of Judah, whom God appointed, I have a tendency to trace my blessings back, but not to the God who gives them, but to my excellence, to my worthiness, to my accomplishments. I may not stand up like Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and say, "See this great Babylon which I have built?" But I tend to see what I enjoy and what I possess as the fruit of my own labors, the fruit of my own efforts. So Jesus teaches us here in our text in Psalm 103, verse 2, to deal with our own heart. Jesus begins with this threefold call to his own soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. We know that we need to remember because we find it so easy to forget. Second, what do we need to remember? What do you and I need to remember? Forget not all his benefits. All his benefits. In Psalm 13, verses 5 and 6, we read this, "But I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me." Those beautiful dealings, Psalm 13, 5 and 6, are God's benefits toward us. The sense of his endless blessing. The fact that he goes on supplying all that you need as his beloved child. That is important to remember too, because every creature receives the mercies of God. You may not be a Christian here this evening. You may have very little thought of or appetite for God, but you are sitting here because you have received God's mercies in such great abundance. Did you wake up this morning with the sun shining and then the snow falling? Have you breathed God's good air today? Are you not clothed? Are you not fed? Do you not have a roof over your head? Have you sat under the sound of the Word of God today? Have you heard Christ speaking to you in the truth of His Word? Jesus said that God is good to all, and we should be also. We should be like Him. He sends the sun to shine. He sends the rain to fall on the just and on the unjust. There is nobody here this evening. There is nobody in this town. There is nobody across this entire land. There's nobody throughout the entire world who does not have reason to remember the benefits of God. When Paul is preaching in Athens, Greece, in Acts chapter 17, he talks about the fact that the true God has given to us all life and breath and all things. Whoever you are, you have reason to remember God's favor toward you. If that is true of us simply as creatures of God, how much more is it true of you who are redeemed by the blood of Jesus? You who are Christians. And that is where Jesus teaches us to turn our hearts. Do not forget all God's benefits. This is what I need to remember. In the face of all my tendency to forget, in the face of my inclination to ingratitude and to complain, when my life seems to be more full of woes than anything else, when the world distracts me from considering these things, when my prideful soul is lifted up and tends to trace the streams back to this poison fountain rather than to the mercies of God, I need to turn my heart. I need to turn my mind to all the endless mercies and blessings of God to me. How many they are. How great they are. They are beyond calculation. They are beyond catalog. Forget not all his benefits. We cannot begin to number out all the mercies and all the benefits of God toward us. You know what a catalog is. Imagine that you had a catalog of the mercies and the benefits of God. How many pages would you need? How much scrolling on a screen would you have to do to begin to cover all the territory of God's favor toward you? Brothers and sisters, the benefits of the Lord toward his people are immeasurable, innumerable. My life is littered with the goodness of God, with the blessings of my heavenly Father. That is just me. What about you? What if we asked each person, one by one, can you think of 100 blessings that you have enjoyed from God today? All of us should be able to do that. Then we would have to compare and contrast and say, most of us have the first 20 or 25, but the other 75 are even more. And that is just today, and that is just with a few moments of thought. What great goodness God has bestowed upon us. How many his benefits are. How varied they are. God forgives your iniquities. God heals your diseases. God redeems your life from destruction. God satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. There are blessings here for our life on earth and for our life in heaven. There are blessings here for our bodies, and there are benefits for our souls. There are things that we consider lesser, and there are benefits that we consider greater. There's pardon for our sins. There's healing for our souls. There's rescue from our trouble. There's pleasure in our God. How narrowly we can sometimes think. How quick we are to dismiss things and pare them away. But God says that there are blessings and benefits beyond what we can count. There are so many and so varied blessings that they are suited to all the circumstances and all the needs of our lives. Notice also that the things you need to remember are divine. They're not just benefits. They're not even your benefits, they are his benefits. They are the endless blessings that God himself has crafted and bestowed upon you. The benefits that we enjoy are worthy of the ever-blessed God, worthy of his wisdom, worthy of his power, worthy of his goodness, worthy of his glory. The Lord will not give his children that which diminishes him in their sight. Properly received, these are the good things that reflect the majesty and the glory and the greatness of God. God's pardon is a kingly pardon, a heavenly pardon. God's healings are to the very depths of our being, all our diseases, redeeming our life from destruction. He redeems us. He crowns us with his loving kindness and tender mercies. He satisfies our mouth with good things so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. God does not deal with us on a small scale. We may have small conceptions of it. We may have a narrow sense of it, but these are his benefits. He has crafted them for us in the heavenly places. He has poured them out upon us in Christ Jesus. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Jesus teaches us to remember that the Lord's benefits are personal. If you write down the first 100 benefits that come to mind, 75 of them would be different from every one of us, or for every one of us. That is precisely what you would expect. It is another reflection of God's wisdom and God's compassion. God is not just saying, some of them will need this, so I will throw that in the church and see what they do with that. Your soul has been the object of your heavenly Father's particular regard and care. You have benefits that belong to all of God's children. You have benefits that have been given to you and that have been crafted with you yourself in mind. Even the manner in which He brings them to you is according to His compassion and His loving kindness. Not all of us have precisely the same needs. Not all of us are in precisely the same circumstances. Yes, by nature we are all dead in our trespasses and sins, so we need those great benefits of redemption in Christ in order to be the Lord's. But God has made you. He has made you individually. He has not made us all precisely like one another, and He has crafted His benefits for your distinct needs. He has given to you the particular friends that you have to minister to you. He has put you in a particular fellowship for a particular reason. When you think of the goodness that God has given you, these benefits are yours in a distinctive way. A father does not give his children all the same gifts all the time. You can be absolutely consistent and yet you will deal wisely with each and every one of your children. Our Father in heaven does the same. Your benefits are not just crafted in heaven, but they are handmade for you. God Himself has considered you. Christ has taken you into account. Yes, you were upon His heart. You were in His hand when He died on the cross, but He is the shepherd of all of His sheep, and He takes care of each and every one. I need to remember the benefits that I enjoy every day. I will wake up tomorrow morning if God is pleased to spare me. If not, then there will be other benefits that He gives me. You expect to wake up tomorrow morning. You expect to do your work tomorrow. You expect the sun to shine again tomorrow. You barely think about that. Of course the sun will shine tomorrow. That is what happens in the morning. Do you expect your home to be there tomorrow? After all, it has been there for so many years before. Do you expect your body to function in much the same way as it has done? Perhaps a little worse, perhaps a little better, but to go on processing the food that you eat, giving you strength and energy for your life? Do you expect to go to the job that God has given you? Perhaps driving in the car that God has blessed you with in a society that is largely governed by the rule of law so that no one's shooting at you as you drive to work? Do you anticipate that you will go to certain places and do certain things, and that next Lord's Day you will return here and, God willing, your soul will be primed to receive the everlasting Word of God and the Lord sparing us Christ and His truth, His gospel will be preached once again, that we will sing His praise together, that we will enjoy our fellowship together as the body of Christ, and that you will be able to open your copy of the Bible tomorrow morning? You might even be able to choose from among the copies that you open. You will be able to sing praises to Him. Some will gather with friends or with family to pray and to praise the Lord. We will be able to call one another and to encourage one another tomorrow, just like we have today. Why is this? Because of God's benefits. They are new every morning. We are so accustomed to so many of them that we just assume that they're going to be there and that they are never failing. I just mentioned some of the benefits that we enjoy in this world. Are you going to be saved tomorrow? No one will pluck you out of his hand. No one will pluck you out of the hand of the Father. No one will pluck you out of the hand of the Son. The Father and the Son are one. Will Jesus Christ intercede for your soul tomorrow? Will your great high priest be representing you before the throne of grace tomorrow? Will you have access into the holiest place of all through Jesus Christ tomorrow? Will you still have a life redeemed from destruction tomorrow? Will your sins be forgiven tomorrow? Will your sins that you commit today be forgiven tomorrow? If you take them to the fountain that is open for sin and for uncleanness, the fountain found in Jesus Christ. The blessings, the benefits, the gifts of God are as eternal as God Himself. Day by day, you are receiving God's good things. You also need to remember gracious benefits. Which of all the things that we have mentioned, that we have hinted at in the last few minutes, do you deserve? Not one. Not one. Does that not make our complaining all the more bitter? Our pride seem all the more foolish? Our distractions seem all the more bewildering? Where do I deserve to be now? In the depths of hell, suffering the punishment that my sins properly deserve. Brothers and sisters, I am here preaching Christ, the good news of God's grace to sinners, to you and to me. You are listening to it. You are sitting here and the word of Christ is resounding in your ears. So many of us testify, this is my God. These are His benefits. Yes, these are the things that He has given me, that I who by nature am a vile and hell-deserving wretch, am sitting here tonight bathed in the loving kindness and in the tender mercy of the God of all the earth, and that I inherit the eternal kingdom, that I am an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ, that I am seated now in the heavenly places with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that I have Jesus Christ. If there were no other benefit to record, if I stripped away all those good things that we enjoy in this life, if I were to tell you that following Jesus Christ would lead to years of unrelieved worldly misery, distress, and poverty, and yet, at the end, God would call you to Himself in Christ, receive you into His glorious presence, and bestow upon you all the favors and blessings of the world to come. If we had some sense of the Lord's benefits, we would say, sign me up for whatever happens here, so long as I am in Christ and Christ is mine. Have we calculated properly that any mercy is really mercy? That any favor is a wonder of God's grace to us? I do not deserve these blessings. Why do I need to remember? Because I so quickly forget. What do I need to remember? All the Lord's benefits. how ready God is to bless. What a bad testimony we sometimes have borne to our Savior. Do we make having God as our God attractive? Do our unconverted family members and our unconverted friends hear us praise the Lord from our soul, with all of our soul, and not forget all His benefits? If you are here tonight and you do not know this God in His Son, Jesus Christ, I want you to understand just how ready God is to bless you. God Himself is His own witness. The Lord is merciful and gracious. Will you not go to Him? The Lord is slow to anger and abounding in mercy. Can you not go to Him? He will not always strive with us, nor will He keep His anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins. He has not punished us according to our iniquities. Can you not turn to such a God? Do you need to be afraid that He will turn you away? Do you think Christ Himself will reject you if you go to Him this evening? That a God who has poured out so readily, so lavishly, so generously to thousands upon thousands of sinners who have sought and found Him to be such a God? Do you think you have any doubt that Christ will receive you? That God will receive you for Christ's sake? Do you doubt that God loves you in His Son, Jesus Christ, and He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life? If you do, put those thoughts away. Jesus Himself teaches each and every one of us to say, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." Every true believer can say, "Yes, that is my God. That is my Savior." He will be your God too. No one has been blessed because they are good. We are blessed because God is good. No one has been blessed because we are worthy. We are blessed because Christ is worthy. If you have doubts or fears that keep you from coming to Jesus Christ, put them away. If you think God is cruel, distasteful, unkind, unloving, put it away. God is full of goodness. God is full of loving kindness. God is full of tender mercies, and He receives sinners like us. He makes His endless blessings in Christ to be lavished upon us. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to remind us of these things. Are you not ashamed of how rarely, how little, how shallowly, how narrowly we think about God's many benefits toward us? They so easily drift away. I cannot recall the least part of them without the Holy Spirit helping to hold them before my mind. You make your own catalog. Look back over the years and remember what God has done for you. That is what God has done. That is when I was humbled and He helped me. That is when He picked me up out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock. That is when I cried out to Him and He heard me in the hour of my need. That is when my soul was almost overwhelmed within me and He brought me to the rock that is higher than I. That was when the storm swept upon me and He hid me in the cleft of the rock. That was when he lifted me up and made my feet like deer feet and made me to walk on the high hills. That was the Lord's day, when I was studying and hearing the word of God, the preaching of his word, and I had a sense of heaven. That was the time when I was studying the scriptures with brothers and sisters, and some truth of God was made clear to me that I never understood before. That was when I understood what it means to be justified by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That was when I appreciated what God had done for me from my childhood. That was the day I understood what a blessing it is to have a godly father and mother. That is my God. And that is what he has been to me every day of my life. The day you are converted is not just the day you think that you have received the greatest of all God's benefits. It is the day you begin to realize just how many benefits you have enjoyed. Have you thought how often you have almost died? God spared you, and he saved you from your sins, and he gave you eternal life when he might have snuffed your life out. If God had snatched you away any one of those times, you may never have come to Christ. How many sermons did you hear before you were saved? How many friends spoke to you? How many parents kept you on the straight and narrow path? How many friends or family members kept you from even worse sins? God kept you. God saved you. You marvel that God brought you to that point. Since then, there has not been a moment that you have lived when you have not known many varied, divine, personal, sustained, and gracious benefits from God. You need the help of the Holy Spirit to remember all my Lord's benefits to me. Third, how should we remember? We should do it carefully. We should take time to remember, take time to meditate on what God has said and on what God has done. Take your notes from the sermon today or from your Bible lesson today and think about what God has done for you. Carefully consider and make the connections. Take time and trace out God's dealings with you over the last day, even over the last week. Even in your confusions and in your distresses and in your grievances, the Lord has drawn near to you to give you light and bring you comfort and lead you in the right path. Consider how God has exposed sins that you might have hidden. What a benefit of God to you. Think of how you might be alone and isolated, and yet God has brought Christian friends to help you. What a benefit of the Lord to you. Do it humbly. We neglect many of God's benefits because we are not persuaded that they are really benefits. We forget that they are gifts. We need to think about what we have deserved and what we have actually received. Recognize that the least of God's mercies come to us completely undeserved. Remember, he has not dealt with us according to our sins. He has not punished us according to our iniquities. We need to remember God's benefits regularly. Do it in the morning. Thank you, Lord, that I have life again today with your comforts and blessings and mercies. Do it at the end of the day, if only a few minutes before you fall asleep. Do it daily. Sometimes do it hourly. If you find yourself drifting into ingratitude and complaining, say, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Come on, man. Come on, woman. Come on, child. What are you like? What do you have? What do you have? Stop this dark spirit, this decline into misery. Remember what God is to you and what God is for you in Christ. Take some special seasons. What do you do on your birthday? Would that not be a good time to review the Lord's benefits to you over the course of the past year? Or New Year's Day, or New Year's Eve. What have I received over the past year? What can I look forward to in the new year? Take time. Write it down. Put those things before your eyes. Put those things before your soul. Do it prayerfully. The aim of this is not just to bless, but to bless the Lord. You can disconnect things from God Himself. These are not just benefits, they are His benefits. Do you go back to Him with thanksgiving? Thank you for this. Thank you for that. Oh, how good you have been to me in this. I did not even realize this until tonight. Now you have done this. You have shown me this. You have blessed me in this way. You have given this to me. You have given this one to me. You have given to me this relationship. You have given me this favor. All these are from your hand. That is how you train your soul toward heaven, toward God, toward Christ. Express your thankfulness. Do not just say, "That was a nice bunch of benefits." But thank you, Father, for your benefits toward me. Thank you, Christ. Do it privately. Do it publicly. Rather than have pity parties, why not have Thanksgiving parties? Rather than commiserating with one another because of what we lack, give thanks together for what we have received. Weep with those who weep, but also rejoice with those who rejoice. Do not pour salt into wounds. Remind one another and testify to one another of God's many benefits. Some may find this difficult. We can encourage one another. What benefits have you received this day? When we sing together, when we thank the Lord together in the church, when we pray together on Wednesday evenings, one of the great benefits of you being here is not only do we ask God for what we need, but we praise God for the things we receive. Do you come with thanksgiving? Do you come thinking, "I want to praise God for this tonight. I want to thank God for this." Thank God for the opportunities you have had to speak of Jesus Christ. Give thanks for every name that you have told that person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and plead with God for every name that Christ will save his soul. Do it joyfully. How do you think Jesus sounded when he sang Psalm 103? You cannot be downcast. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. When you praise God, do it with joyfulness. When you understand the benefits of the Lord, you may praise God even through your tears and your burdens, even in the midst of your brokenness. Still thank God for his benefits in holding you up when you're so soon to be crushed. Do not thank him grudgingly. When God has given you his benefits, bless him with all your soul. The world that we are in and the hearts that are in us make it very easy for us to treasure up the worthless junk and neglect the priceless treasure. Make it easy for us to be tenacious about grievances and careless about our good gifts and benefits. Talk to yourself. Sing to yourself and to one another. Flush out the foul. Forget what is worth forgetting and think on what is good. Think on what is holy. Think on what is pure and what is decent. Think on what is righteous. That's what Paul wrote to the Philippians. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. God has given each one of us a great abundance of good things to consider. If you're not His tonight, they are all yours in Jesus Christ. Just ask Him for them. Before you go to sleep tonight, bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. All those benefits, all those good things, all those graces, and we've barely scratched the surface. Lord, help us not to forget them, but to thank You, and thank You, and thank You, and praise You in Christ and through Christ, both now and forever. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank You for these words of Psalm 103, words that we need so desperately. We need to learn to speak to our own soul as Jesus teaches us here and say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all His benefits, all the ways that He has so graciously and mercifully and kindly and patiently dealt with me. Father, open our eyes, open our hearts to see, to comprehend, to understand, to remember, to meditate upon all Your good gifts, so vast, so great. Lord, more wonderful, more exciting than the most exciting catalog of this world's goods. Raise up our hearts, raise up our minds, raise up our lives from all the worthless junk here on earth to the treasure that You have given us in Christ and all the riches that are ours in Him. Give us thankful hearts. Take away that complaining and grumbling spirit. Take away that sense of entitlement that I do not have nearly as much as I should, as I deserve, when what we deserve is nothing but Your wrath and curse and judgment. Lord, may we be joyful, thankful people who are blessing You day in and day out, moment by moment, even in the midst of the trials and difficulties of our lives. Father, we pray for those who enjoy so many benefits from Your hand, but never thank You for them, never recognize You as the giver of them, and do not have that greatest of all gifts, that unspeakable gift of Jesus Christ, the righteous one, the Savior. Show them their need of Him. Show them their bankruptcy and emptiness without Him. Show them the great burden of sin, the guilt and the curse and the judgment that rest upon them unless they lay hold of Jesus by faith. May our lives point others to our Savior and to all the good benefits, including that unspeakable gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.